That's good.
Man, I was so excited to have this opportunity. I was able to have lunch with the pastor a few weeks ago, and we just, you know, he's a man of God, and you can see that and feel that the moment you're in his presence. And thank you for your obedience and just obeying him. And then I came this morning, and I'm hearing you guys talk, and I love the fact that you let, well, first and foremost, you share, and I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry. Quellen? Quinn, sorry, Quinn. Quinn shared that restoration is a hosting place of the Holy Spirit, and that just stuck with me. Whoo, and because I was like, all right, you know, I have the opportunity and privilege to visit churches and to share, and sometimes it's in this form, sometimes it's a little shorter, but there's often churches that are like, hey, we need you to stick to the time. Pastor was like, hey, we want the Holy Spirit to guide you. This is a hosting place of the Holy Spirit, so you take the time you need. And I was like, yes, that is right up my alley. Some people looked and they were like, oh, we're about to be here for another hour. I may not keep you that long, but then again, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. So, but look, so I grew up right here in Virginia Beach. I actually went to Lansdowne Middle School and Lansdowne High School. So I felt like coming here, like I was kind of coming home. Like, I live in Suffolk now, which I told someone that this morning. They was like, whoa, the drive is not bad. Like, podcasts and the Lord, that is the great time for me. Like, I love it. But I remember just growing up and my mom, you know, this was in middle school before, you know, middle schoolers had phones, you know, because that's still new to me. But we didn't have phones. We didn't have cell phones. So my mom, before she left, she would either, like, write a note to remind us to take out the chicken or to do whatever we need to do. But we knew that the last thing my mom said, my sisters and I, that was important. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah, thank you. Like, that is important. You need to, like, if your mom tells you to do it, like, it's important. And quite frankly, probably about 70% of the time, I forgot. But, you know, there's grace in that too, thankfully. But I think of that, and I think of my favorite scripture, my favorite, like, just verse that I constantly go back to, and Toby will tell you this too, and that's the Great Commission. Because it's the last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he ascended. Like, it is, it, and I have to remind people, like, he commanded it. It wasn't saying, like, if you have time for it, I want you to do this. Or if you feel comfortable, I want you to do this. But we, as followers of Christ, we as his people, we at his church, we are called to do this. And I'm going to mention this because I feel like you've got to kind of begin with the end in mind. But if you want to open your Bible, we're going to be in Luke 4, 18 and 19. We're going to camp out there. But I've got to mention this first because I feel like you've got to begin with the end in mind. It says this, Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You have to begin with the end in mind. We are told, we are commanded to go and make disciples of all nations. We're commanded that. But sometimes, so very often, we forget to go and make disciples of those right next door, of those right in our community, of those right here in Lansdowne, of those right here in Virginia Beach. Like, we just don't do it because we hear that and we're like, hey, we've got to go overseas. Like, I'm not saying that some of us are not called to go be missionaries outside of the country. Like, that is some people's callings, and I get that. Like, be obedient to what the Lord has told you to do and what he has equipped you to be. But we are all called to go and make disciples right here. So you've got to begin with the end in mind. So I said, we're going to be in Luke 4, 18 and 19. In Luke 4, right before this verse that we're going to be in, or these verses, Jesus was baptized. And then after that, he was tempted in the wilderness. And we all know how that went. If you don't, I encourage you to go and read the first part of Luke 4. But I've kind of have to set the stage, because after his temptation, he went to Nazareth. And we all know that it is often hard to preach the gospel in your own house. He went to Nazareth and he was in a synagogue. And as he was there, he entered them there on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written. And this is where we start. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And what I love about that is Jesus reads that. He's reading from the scroll, but he purposely stops at only the first half of verse 2 and of scroll of Isaiah, or what we know to be Isaiah 61. Verses 1 and 2. He stops. He only reads the beginning of it, of that verse 2. And there's a reason for that, which we'll get to. But if you look at this verse, you look at these two verses, this is what I look at and I see as the mission statement of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, we all have mission statements, correct? Y'all got a mission statement right here at Restoration. Like, I am here in the capacity of missional coach for the Crisis Pregnancy Center or the Kind Center. And we have a mission statement. But this mission statement of Christ right here, like, trumps all of ours. I mean, it literally, our mission statement should be wrapped up in this. You might not know this, but everything we do at the Kind Center or CPC is about Jesus and for Jesus. I don't know if y'all knew that. I would love to talk to you more about that, but look, like you said, like, I had the privilege of meeting Ms. Janet this morning. I've heard so much about her, and it was just amazing for me to finally actually meet her. Like, and if you don't know just why it's important for me, I mean, she let us use her name. Like, so let's break this down. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he anointed me. We're going to stop right there. Peter talks about Jesus' anointing in Acts 10, verse 37 through 38, when he says, "You know the events that took place throughout all Jews, beginning from Galilee after baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he anointed me." Like, Jesus has been anointed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, look, we are in a hosting place of the Holy Spirit. Like, I mean, honestly, like, as I'm sitting here and I'm a student pastor at my church, so to see these young people up here and just being obedient and just worshiping God, and not just worshiping God, but leading others to worship God, it was just like, Lord, how do you want me to follow that? How do you want me to follow that? And he's just like, I mean, the Spirit is for all of us. It's there. Like, he's anointed us with that same power that Jesus was anointed with. Well, let me say this. You can be anointed if you just accept the fact that, like, you're also supposed to be a hosting place, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And look, I'm trying to stay still. I don't want you to get a cramp in your arm following me. We are anointed with the same Spirit that empowers. So we have to make this mission statement ours. If you can get past this first line and not in agreement, then, like, look, I guarantee Pastor would love to have a conversation with you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he anointed me to preach or to proclaim good news to the poor. I think you would agree that we live in a broken and fallen world that just gets more and more like that, day after day after day after day. Are you in agreement with me? All right, I'm just making sure. And what's the solution to that? Jesus, the gospel, it has been, it is, and it always will be the solution. The solution is the gospel. So we are called to preach or to proclaim the good news to the poor. But then we fail to realize that, like, the poor is all of us. It is every morning. Look, not just because I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Like, there's every morning that I have to get up and I've got to proclaim the good news to myself. Because Lord knows, these terrible twos and these troubling fours, I don't even know. I'm just making up terms now. But I have to proclaim the good news to myself. Not just because of that, because I'm poor. And I'm poor because I can't afford my own salvation. I mean, if you can, then, hey, I don't know where you're reading. But we sometimes forget how poor we were or how poor we are, and we don't proclaim it. I mean, think about the fact that you had to get to this point today. Let me go back. If you are at the point where you are a believer, that you are following Christ, that you know that this word, in whatever form you may have, whether it is in paper, whether it is on your phone, however it may be, whatever version, you know that this word is the truth. Amen? So you've gotten to that point. But sometimes we forget that, like, hey, where were we before that? Where were we before that? We think that we're no longer poor, but trust me, we are poor. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to Jew and also to the Greek." If you look at that, in the Greek word for power is dunamis. And that's where we get the word dynamite. So if you look at this, that the power, it is the kaboom of God. This power is his kaboom. We've been entrusted and anointed with the kaboom of God, with his power. You follow me? Like, so you've been entrusted with that, right? Like, so now what are you going to do? Are you going to go and proclaim the good news to the poor, which starts with looking in the mirror every day and remembering, like, hey, I'm poor. I need to preach the gospel to myself. You follow me? All right. It's going to be hard to go to sleep up here, just so you know. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release. We good? All right. I'm supposed to dance? Oh, I'm not a dancer. I'm not gifted in that sense.
Check.
The devil is trying to be on attack. And plus, I know that from last week when Pastor was taking you guys through the foundational principles of relationships and agape and philia, like, that had happened to him. So, hey. But the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. And some versions say freedom for the prisoners. Let me ask you this question. What is it in your past or present that has you in a prison of guilt or shame today? Like, what is it in your past or present that has you in a prison of guilt or shame today? What is holding you captive? What is holding you back? Like, what is it? Romans 8:1-2 says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation of those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Like, there is no condemnation. Like, look, I can't say that when I was here living in this area that I was a follower. But I know that the Lord has done a work in me and through me and continues to work in me so that I'm not held captive by those things. Like, there's no condemnation for my past. Like, I've given it all to him. He's sending us to proclaim release to the captive. And the only way we can do that and ensuring people understand that is by proclaiming the good news. Understanding that you are anointed with the same power. You've got to run to him. So, like I mentioned that I'm a student pastor at my church, and we usually go to camp. We were at camp one year at Liberty, and there's this tunnel. And I don't even know how long it is, but it's a long tunnel that, like, connects the campus. But it goes underneath the highway. That's why it's a tunnel, like, people walk through. And we were like, hey, let's go and have worship there one night. I mean, I was told, because I'm not like Pastor, I'm not going to get up here and sing, because y'all might not come back. But they said the acoustics were good, you know, whatever that means. You young people can tell me about that later. But it was just a great time, and it was just like, in that time, like, we could feel the Holy Spirit. And he's just moving, and people are singing, and people are crying, and we're there. We've got our backpacks. We've got our stuff because, you know, we're going from, like, workshops and things like that. We just got our stuff, and it's on the ground. And the Lord is just telling us to like, get up and run to him. So I literally told all the students as I'm sharing the word, and honestly, I couldn't even tell you what I was saying because the Lord's just guiding me in this time. He's just equipping me with the words. He's giving it to me. And all I remember is we're all just start running to one end of the tunnel, not worrying about any of our baggage, not worried about any of our stuff. And we're just running as if he is at the end of the tunnel. I mean, people, students who I mean, I don't think I've ever seen them run besides this one day. I mean, and look, I'm not as young as I used to be, so I can honestly say I was winded by the end of this. You know, it reminded me. Lord humbled me and told me to get back in the gym at that time. But as we're running, all we see is just this vision of God, this vision of Jesus saying, like, just run to me. Stop letting this baggage. Don't worry about this stuff that we've been holding on to, that we've been carrying around, that we've just been lugging around, that has held us captive. He's like, I am proclaiming that you're free. Leave that stuff behind. Like, let whoever wants to hold on to it, whoever wants to come behind you and grab it, let them do that. But we are called, we are sent to proclaim release to the captives. We are to run to him, Jesus, the Messiah. He died so that you don't have to. He set you free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus opens your eyes, and you can clearly see. I mean, just look at what he did to Paul. Just look at what he did to Paul. One of my favorite type of videos to watch online are the videos where people who have been colorblind their whole life, they get some glasses. Now, look, I wear glasses, like, and I mean, you guys are blurry right now. I'm just saying. So I know how important it is for me to have my glasses on. But I can't imagine, like, I'm a sock guy. Like, I love different color socks. And no, I'm not lifting my pants up. That might get weird. Like, I love just socks. I love to wear socks that are just a little funky. Like, you can ask my wife. Like, she says it's a little weird. But that's what I spend my money on. So it is what it is. So I couldn't imagine, like, not being able to see, like, just the different colors of my socks. But I see these videos of people who are colorblind, and they are taken outside, and they're handed these glasses. I mean, people from little kids to adults to even older, like, they are, like, handed these glasses, and they're able to see. And it's just the I see these videos, and I don't know why I get emotional, and I just look at them, and I'm just like, and they're crying. because they're seeing the world for a whole new way. And I think of that and I'm just like, man, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. But there are people out here who are literally blind. Not that they can't see, not that they're colorblind, but they're blind because they haven't seen Christ. They're blind. They've got these scales over their eyes. They've got these hearts of stone. And they're blind because we, as believers who know what it is to be blind, to know what it is to see clearly, we haven't taken them the gospel. We haven't proclaimed the good news. We haven't shown them that there's a way to remove that chain. So they just are there, are blind. And like the Lord is telling us, if we are to make this mission statement ours, we are to help those who are blind recover their sight. And I'm not saying you've got to do it in the fashion where you've got to go and preach a sermon, or you've got to go and lead worship, or you've got to go overseas. Like, but we're all commanded to go and make disciples. And in doing that, like, our life and our words and the way in which we live should just exude Jesus. You should be a conspicuous person of God, meaning that when people see you, they should be like, man, it's like, look, Pastor's birthday, I'm not trying to brag him because he's coming up and he's turning 23 or however you said. Like, it's what it is. But when I met him, it's just like, man, he exudes Jesus. He's a conspicuous person of Christ. Like, we're not so called to be sneaking around and like, hey, I don't want them to know who I follow. Like, no, we are to go out and not just proclaim it in the way in which we speak, but people should see us and they should be like, I want what they have. I want what they have. They seem just free and light. One of my favorite things, and it's an oxymoron for those who don't understand it, but there is so much freedom in submitting. Amen, right? Amen. Like, there's so much freedom in submission to God. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed. So I'm here from Christ Pregnancy Center, and I can't think of a more oppressed group than children being led to abortion. Than children who are being led to slaughter. Than children who don't even get the chance to decide whether anything. I mean, they have no choice at all. Like, they are so oppressed. They are so oppressed. I mean, they don't even get the chance to be told no. They don't even get the chance to breathe their first breath. Man, I can't imagine, like, being that oppressed. I couldn't imagine, like, something as trivial as someone telling me no. Like, you don't even get a choice in the matter. Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who have no voice. Speak up for those who have no voice. Set the oppressed free. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And like I mentioned earlier, like, Jesus purposely stops at that part. The year of the Lord's favor. He only reads the first half. Like, he knows what he's doing there. Like, he understands, like, you know, what Isaiah says. He doesn't even need the scroll, but to kind of, you know, make other people feel good, he pulls it out and he reads it. He only reads half because we have right now in this moment, during this first Advent season, to turn toward the Lord. We have right now to experience the Lord's favor.
We have right now to proclaim it to the world that this is the time of the Lord's favor, because if you keep reading the second part, we know that, and we can deduce that the second half of this, he talks about his vengeance, he talks about his wrath, so we know that that wrath is coming. Romans 2:4, or do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Because of your hardened and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in a day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. At the core of this, it all starts with understanding that he is kind, that he is showing restraint, that he is patient. But that should lead you to repentance. That should lead us to proclaiming who God is, so that others can repent. Not saying we're really doing anything. We're just conduits for the gospel. You get that? Yes, we're empowered by his spirit, but it is his spirit that's in us that's doing the work. All we have to do is be obedient. And oftentimes that's so hard because it's countercultural. It's countercultural. That's not what the world is telling us to do, but we know that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Because his wrath is real. And it talks about how there's a year of the Lord's favor, but there is a day of his vengeance and wrath. So we know that his wrath is real and it is going to be swift. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is his mission statement. But how are you? You don't have to answer this out loud. I'm not asking you, to convict yourself. But if you need to, this is a hosting place for the Holy Spirit. So do as you feel called to. But how are you living out this mission statement? How are you living out this mission statement? Are you proclaiming the gospel? Are you preaching the good news? We understand, or I'm assuming that we all understand. If you're not at this point where you understand this and you see this, I guarantee you there are people here that would love to walk alongside you so that you get to this point. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is life, that Jesus is worth turning to leaving all those things behind and just running to him. Not saying, hey, let me put it on my calendar and maybe next week I'll come to him. He's no, I am he. He is the only thing that matters. So let me ask you this. Don't you want to see captives be set free? Don't you want to witness blind people gain their sight? Maybe, no? All right. Okay. Pastor, this isn't what you told me. I thought they were for this. Don't you want to see captives set free? Don't you want to see the blind receive sight? Don't you want to witness the kaboom of God? Don't you want to witness people coming to accept salvation? Our goal at the CPC is to save lives, spare hearts, and share the gospel. Save lives, spare hearts, and share the gospel. Pastor invited me in today to share about that, to share about an opportunity for all these things that we just talked about, to live out the mission statement of God. We have an opportunity for you to do that in a way in which, it is... I'll share a few testimonies in a little bit, but we're about to show this video that kind of just gives a glimpse of it. And for me, I was at one point in my life, I was an athlete. And this video for me is like a hype video. I've seen it thousands of times. Sometimes when I'm just a little discouraged in this, I just turn this video on. So are we ready to share that video?
What we want for people is Jesus, because he is everything. Not only is he the way, not only is he truth in the purest sense, not only is he the author of life, he is life itself, he's everything. He's responsible for the very breath we breathe. And what we want for them is everything. And so we don't want just check marks that, yes, I'm making a commitment to Christ. And we don't just want to elevate our numbers about how many people come and see us. We want to see people transformed.
I kind of went in thinking it was just going to be a sit down, a paper class. This is what you do when you're pregnant. This is how you deal with these certain things. But it was so much more than that.
We definitely didn't expect to develop the relationship with them that we did.
That's quite crazy, really. It really is. It's just where we're at in life right now is all because of that one moment of just her going to the Con Center.
The more we went, the more we got to know one another, the more we wanted to do things with each other. And the happier I got, because I said, this is great, because these people are going to know my baby from the beginning. They're going to love her. To be fully known, you know, is a big deal.
Started off as being like, okay, we're going to teach this class and try to get involved in these people's lives. But then it eventually became, you know, these people actually joined our life and actually start to see what the church was always meant to be.
I remember when they first offered, and when we were sitting in class, and they said, hey, I just want everybody to know that Wednesday our group has dinner together and all of you guys are invited. Even though we were all very different from one another, we all managed to really grow close and grow a tight bond.
It's camaraderie. We all talk. I mean, it's just fellowship. I mean, it's just, it's great. It's good conversations, and it's good to be around people that are loving and caring.
In Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, we are reminded that as we speak the truths of Christ to one another in love, we mature in Christ. And then verse 16 goes on to say this, that as we in the body, as all these parts are working properly together, the body grows. And so that's our hope, that these families, they get absorbed into the body. And as we go into genuine relationship with them, that impacts us. And so these missionaries, they have been impacted. They have been loved. They have been poured into by these families. It goes both ways.
Serving as a team from Redemption Church has really enabled us to serve the women in the best way possible, I think. And it's been really great to come together as a church and feel all the support and love that people from our church are providing for us and for these women that they've never met before.
They were there in the hospital when our children were born. They've been there for us for anything we needed. And anything that they could do, they would do.
I'm just grateful to be part of it. I really am.
I got to know Christ better, and I recently got baptized. It's not just that I could see the changes in me. Everybody can see it. It's God that has changed me.
When this idea was birthed, I wanted to be first to be a part of this. I wanted my church to go first. We were the pilot church to form a missions team. And, you know, that was 2 years ago. In some respects, I feel like for the first time, I'm doing what Jesus told me to do. And I love it. I love it. It's transformed me.
I love it. I love it. So that's Mission Great Expectations. And that's what I'm asking you all to be a part of. Like, we're looking for restoration to form a team of 8 to 10 to come and lead these classes. When I say lead these classes, you literally are just there to love on these moms and dads. I'm not. You don't have to teach the you know, pregnancy care stuff or infant care stuff, because that's what these classes are for. They know that that's where they're getting here to get those information. But teams come forward, or that's the goal, is for teams from local churches to come forward to just love on these moms and dads and these babies and these other children. And it is one of those things where the harvest is so plentiful, but the workers are few. This is one of those things where, I mean, we know that this is what we're called to do, to just share the gospel, to experience the blind see. Like to see people like Nayeli turn to Christ and be baptized. We know that this is what we're called to do, but so often we have excuses for why we're not doing it. Mission Great Expectations is an opportunity for you all. There's no excuses. I personally am walking through it with my church right now. Like, yes, my job is to lead teams in this, but I knew that I needed to go through this. The Lord was calling me to be in it myself. And I have to echo exactly what Toby said in that video. Like, yes, I'm leading teams and I'm equipping them to love these moms and dads. But even in that, I feel like now being in it, actually sharing life with them, not just sharing the good news, but literally sharing my life with them, is exactly what the Lord has called us to do, and I'm being obedient. But one of the first times, like, I thought it was enough to just lead students, but even then that, like, I was encountering them because they were coming into the church. I thought it was enough to just lead these teams because, you know, I knew that they were doing it, but I wasn't. So I knew I needed to be in, and it has been so life-changing. As you sat and you shared about just some of the Muslims that you guys are experiencing now, I have to tell this story about this dad. The first week of class, and we're about to go into week four of the second quarter right now, but the first week of class in this quarter, he came to class, and I don't even know how it came up, but he let us know, like, hey, I enjoy being here, but I'm Muslim. And, you know, me in my mind, like, I'm like, all right, like, okay, like, that's fine, like, great. Not great, but you know what I'm saying? Like, this is going to be great conversation that we're going to have. And second week he came, and we do a Devo every week. And he came, and he was a little quiet. Like, he was one of those people the first week, like, came into the room, and he just was, like, loud out there. Like, you cannot miss him. Second week he was really subdued. And this past Monday he came into class. We had the spiritual encouragement. He had never really been involved in it before. And we read a verse, and we asked them, what does it mean to them? And he said, man, that means, like, God and Jesus are real? That I'm supposed to follow Jesus? And he's like, at this point, he's like welling up. He's like, so what I'm doing is wrong. And then he's, like, trying to say more words, but he just kind of shuts down. Like, he doesn't want to share anymore. And I'm just like, okay. All right. And one of the guys from the team, he's not always great at reading the environment. He goes over to try to talk. I'm like, hey, just give him a second. Just give him a second. But we've been able to, throughout this week, really have conversation and do life together. Like, really just do life together and pour into him. And he's starting to see who Jesus is. Like, I'm literally watching and witnessing this man, like, his scales fall from his eyes. And it is, I mean, I could tell you so many stories. In Mission Great Expectation, we've literally seen dad, father's participation go from about 40% to 70%. Like, for me personally, like, I don't think y'all understand, like, how, like, great that is, how monumental that is. We are now seeing men come into this class who are going to be fathers, now understanding what it means to be the foundation and the leader for their family, not in the financial sense, but in the sense of, like, if me as a father, if myself as a husband, if I'm not properly aligned, then my wife and my kids are not. We're instilling in them the responsibility, at least introducing it to them to understand, like, hey, your family will most ultimately go as you go. So don't you want to be led properly? So we've seen follower participation go from 40% to 70%. I mean, we've literally seen the class size on every campus double and triple at times. Right now, we have... as of like 3 weeks ago, we have 131 moms that want these parenting classes. And it is just growing and growing and growing. But the thing about it is, like, we just don't have churches. We just don't have church. We don't have teams to come and really just love these moms and dads to proclaim the good news, to make this mission statement that we've gone over in Luke 4 like ours. And I know some of you are like, well, like, I don't know exactly what he's asking. But guess what? We're going to have an informational meeting next week at 9. So if there's any inkling of like, hey, I want to know just a little more, if the Lord has called you or he's just tugging at you a little bit, first and foremost, like, sit and like, look, I saw some of you, as soon as I got to this point, y'all just kind of like, oh, here you go. Like, look, trust me, I get it. But like, just come. Just hear about it. Ask the questions you want to answer. I get y'all usually don't start to 10. In 1 extra hour, it's going to be great. The sun was great this morning on the drive here. Come and experience that. Like, we'll be right here at 9, and I'm going to answer the questions you have. I'm going to share why I know the restoration is going to have a great team. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Lord, I thank you for just giving us the good news, Lord, for giving us the truth in which we can just rest and lean on and build our foundation. Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for giving us this mission statement, Lord. Lord, I pray that we are just obedient in whatever you call us to do, Lord. That we don't have excuses for why we can't truly follow you and live for you. Lord, I thank you for restoration. Lord, I thank you that this is a hosting place for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are just seeing people restored and revived. Lord, I pray that we see you. That we see you and we run to you, Lord. That we see you, Lord, and that when you enter, we do as Pastor did, Lord, and we just throw ourselves at your feet, Lord. That we just worship you. That we glorify you in all that we do. Lord, I thank you for this time. Thank you for restoration, Lord. I say happy birthday to the man who leads this flock. But Lord, I say, how great are you? You are so great, Lord. Your grace is so sufficient. I pray that we may not be in ideal situations, Lord, but that we serve an ideal God. Thank you for the work that you're doing in us and through us and around us. I pray that we are just obedient to your calling, that we are conduits for you, that we allow ourselves to be empowered and filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of your Son. And all those who agree, say amen.